Good morning.
All right. Before I start, I'd like to read a poem, Footprints. Not really. All right. John chapter 8. Well, this visit up here is bittersweet. It's good to be up here, but man, we're going to be saying bye to our grandbaby. Yeah. It's going to be tough. I'm already going to cry. She's still with us. Just to give you a little update on what we're doing down there in Puebla, it's been pretty busy this year. You know, I'm excited. I'm excited what God's doing there. Our church is not a big church, but it's a real blessing. We probably have, I would say, about 25 more or less on a given Sunday. We got some people who come in and just visit us on Sundays. But what I like about it is the people who come on Sundays, those that I consider 25, they usually show up on Wednesday night, on Thursday night too. So that's a huge. Amen. I mean, that's just huge to me. You know, last night we're over at Bill's with the what do you call that, fire chat? Yeah, fire chat. We didn't have a fire, but we chatted. But you guys missed it. I was talking to Robert, and he observed something, which I thought was pretty cool. But you guys missed it. He said, I never heard Billy say so many times, I don't know. So if you guys didn't show up, man, you missed it. I thought, you know what? That is true. I like that. I don't know. But there in Puebla, once a month we try to get back into it, evangelism. So we go out on a Saturday, and we evangelize, downtown, which is a real blessing. We also have, workshops we do on Saturdays. We call them marriage workshops, but, you know, we try to teach, not only, for the married people, but the young people that show up, just different topics. So we try to do that once a month, and the church is faithful to that too. We got two men there that have a real desire to serve God. One of them's a deacon there. His name's Ricardo, and I know you guys probably pray for him. Most of you do. He has a child with CP. And they just got some procedures done on her. Her name is Donna. And they got some procedures done on her there in Mexico City. I think it was in December, where they did like 36 incisions all over her body. Well, her legs and her arms to cut the tendons and make them stretch. And so we're excited that now she's pretty much healed up, and now she's going to try to start to use those limbs. And Lord willing, we'll see her walking. Lord willing, we'll see her with a better quality of life. And it's an extra blessing, too, because while we're up here, Brian and Judy invited us to their house, and we got to see some equipment that used to be Alyssa's. And we're taking down a wheelchair, brand spanking new wheelchair, really nice. And some equipment to help her stand and walk, you know, to exercise her legs. And it was a blessing because I called him up. I called Ricardo and I said, hey, look, I said, they're offering me this. And he was like, we just, we're going to go out today and start looking for equipment for her And so it was a huge blessing to them that they actually got to see this, and we're going to be able to take it. So you be praying for that, because we're going to be traveling on Thursday, and getting across, you know, to Mexico is always interesting. And sometimes the aduanas there are nice, and sometimes they're not. So, you know, we'll just see what happens. But you guys pray. We'll be crossing to Mexico on Thursday, and hopefully they don't give me any problems taking this stuff in. But, you know, Lord willing, we'll get it there. And the other one is Christian. Christian's a guy who showed up probably about a little over a year ago. He's just walking by, and he had been burned. He was saved, been burned in the Christian churches, got really, really just in a bad way as far as what he thought Christianity was supposed to be. And so he left church. The wife wasn't saved, left church, and just started watching stuff on TV and radio and stuff. And then he got convicted about that and said, you know what, I really need to meet. I need to meet somewhere. And so he said he just walked out one day, and he just said, Lord, I have to find a place. And, of course, he didn't have a car, and so he just started walking. And he walked across our building. And so Ricardo was preaching, and we weren't there at the time. And he walked in, and he's been there ever since. Him, his family, his two kids. And so they're really a blessing. Really, I think they're on fire. He decided he's actually a graphic designer. Is that right? Designing? Anyways, he designs stuff on the computer. And so he left his job. He was working for the government, and it absorbed so much time. So he decided, because he wanted to serve the Lord, he decided that he was going to leave his job and going to be able to meet, going to be able to do something for the Lord. And he's going straight preaching with me, him and Ricardo. So that's a huge, that's a huge blessing. Thank you. Man, you're a good woman. Thank you. Oh, wow, it's going to be interesting. And so you keep these guys in prayer. They're good guys, and I'm excited when we go back. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to do there or what is left for me to do there in Puebla, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the Lord is doing. And we have a good Sunday school. We got some, you know, good group of kids. Our ladies that teach it are really faithful. They do a great job. And so, you know, we're excited about that. We just had some guys from New York this last month. Not only Matt's been there. Matt and Lauren's been there for about a month or so with us. But during that month, two guys came up and stayed a couple of weeks with us. A huge blessing. These guys, both of them, they seemed like they wanted to serve the Lord. Also, his brother came up too, those three guys. But two of them really, really have a desire to serve God. And so they're already making plans to come back, and they want to spend a little bit more time there. Dove into the language really good, I thought. And so you keep praying for that. God is doing something over there on Staten Island with these guys. I don't know where he's going to take them or what's he going to do, but they really seem to be on fire for the Lord. And then I just want to make a general invitation to you guys. You guys need to come down and visit me. I know Jim just got a passport, right? Where is he? He already left. He took off. So you guys, any of you guys are welcome. You guys, you know, come down, you know, spend some time with me. We'll go out, do some street preaching. We'll go out, knock on doors. We'll go out and try to get these dogs on the street saved. We'll do as much as we possibly can. When these guys came up, they came up with 600 Gospels of John and Romans. Crazy guys. They go and they pay for you know, an extra luggage to bring all these Bibles to Puebla. And so we pass them out and put them on the doors. I'm telling you, they're pretty zealous young men. It really blessed me to see this, and their desire to serve the Lord. John chapter 8. So you keep these things in prayer, and you guys are always welcome down there in Mexico. We do have an airport there in Puebla, so I know you guys, some of you guys are a little weary about traveling down there in car, and I understand. I just try not to think about it. And just drive. Every time I see something weird, I just say, don't make eye contact, Karen. Don't make eye contact. Just keep looking straight. So anyways, but we do have an airport. You guys are more than welcome. We'll go pick you up. Even if you fly into Mexico City, which probably a little cheaper, I'll go pick you up and bring you down to Puebla. John chapter 8. And I'm going to read one verse here that caught my attention. In verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We just thank you how merciful you have been to us and the churches down there in Mexico. Lord, I just pray that you continue to do a work down there. Continue to bless us, Lord, in our ministry. Lord, I just thank you. Just thank you for not only treating me better than I deserve, but just thank you for a good, faithful church. Thank you, Lord, for people praying for me. Thank you, Lord, for everything that that our brethren do here for us and for the ones in Poland and in so many places, Lord. I just ask you continue to bless us. Help us to be a light. Just help us to walk in that light. Lord, just help us to give a good testimony, just a good taste in people's lives, Lord, in people's minds, Lord, that not only you live in us, Lord, but we want to do and we want to act like your children. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you just get me out of the message, Lord. I just pray this morning that you touch someone, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just use me this morning. I pray, Father, that that you just have your will with everyone in this room. We thank you for this young man, Levi, Lord, who accepted you and want to follow you in baptism. I pray, Lord, that you just bless his life. Help him to live godly. Help him to follow you. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, if you look at this word, follow, and it's pretty interesting here. If you see this, Jesus Christ comes there and he tells them that you have to follow him, and then a little while later, around verse 30, it says they believed in him, right? Many believed in him, and then if you go and you read the rest of the chapter into the next chapter, or at least the end of this chapter, they picked up stones and they wanted to kill him. You know, believing in Christ is so important. It's what saves us, right? We put our faith in him. Amen. We ask God to forgive us. We put our faith in him and we ask for salvation and he saves us. Faith in him is extremely important. But you know, we're called to follow God. And you know, if you look up this word, we're called to follow so many things. We follow after the good things, right? We follow, you know, after charity. Paul says several times, you know, follow us, right? So follow the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a pattern for us to follow him. So following is something that's so important. But lots of times, I don't know what happens, but lots of times we fail to follow. You know, and as I was thinking about this, following God is important, super important. You know, lots of us, I think, we believe in God, but it's hard for us to follow, yeah. Right? It's like to put an example, Cardinal. We all know it's and we believe, I think. Right? We believe it's good to exercise. Right? Don't we?
Sure.
I mean, I do. I believe it's good. I just don't follow it. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that we believe are good, But for some reason, we don't follow it. I know if we follow directions like diets, like, you know, Brian's on a great diet, it seems. If we follow these things, then we're going to get healthier, right? If we follow directions, we're going to live better. We understand that when it comes to this life. But you know, something happens spiritually. It's like we don't get it. And then we start complaining when things fall apart.
Right.
We start getting upset with God because things aren't working out. excuse me. I think it's something in this area, Brian. Look at 1 John chapter 1. I want to talk to you this morning about following the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a few things I think in this chapter that helps us, and I think we need to apply in our lives to follow him. And if we don't apply this in our life, we're going to have problems. You know, when I got saved a long time ago, but when I got saved, light literally just came into my life. You know, I didn't know hardly anything of the Bible, but there were some things I just knew. And I believe because I had the Holy Spirit in me. I believe because God saved me because he came to live inside me. There were some things that were just so clear to me between light and darkness, right? I knew, and you know, maybe I was deceived, you know, way back then, but it was almost immediately I knew I had some bad examples in my life. I had some bad friends in my life. Right? I knew almost immediately that I needed to change my mind and the way I was speaking. There were several things in my life that almost immediately when God saved me, that light that he gave me was undeniable. And you know, one of the things that I was sure that I understood immediately is I needed to start a relationship with God. And the only way that I was going to start this relationship with God is following him. You cannot have a relationship with God if you're not walking with him. It's impossible, right? You can't understand God if you get away from this book. You cannot expect to follow God and exit the church, stop reading your Bible, doing all these things that they used to do and live before. Things have to change, you know. And when you think about following God says here that if you walk in him, it says here in verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You know, that's something that I think is very important. God, and you have to believe it. I mean, I believe it. You shall not walk in darkness. It says you will have the light inside you. So something has to change. If you're going to walk with God, and we know in God there's no darkness. What does it say over there in 1 John? In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 5. It says, then, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we have right here not only a command, but a truth. God, there's absolutely no darkness in God. And if we walk in him, we cannot be in darkness and at the same time in the light. It's impossible, right? So you have to make, I think, a decision. You have to make a decision to continue to walk in that light. Look what it says over there in Ephesians. Turn with me, Ephesians chapter 5. Again, if you just do a word search on follow, it really is incredible. But we have the promise here that we're going to get the light. But then we also have a condition. You have to follow, right? You have the promise, the light is going to be in you, but then you have to follow God. Look what it says here in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." How are you smelling today? You know? What odor have you given off this week? You ought to be asking yourself that, you know? Look, if someone comes in here today, from a night crew, and I used to do it. I used to show up here when we first got saved. I used to come in here all dirty and smelly and stinky on a Wednesday night. And I know I stunk, you know? And most of you were very nice, right? But I know I did. But you know what? When you and I have Christ in us, we're supposed to be giving off a sweet smell. It says here, in 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." You know, that one right there, that word jesting, that got me. Look, I kid around, but I think I do. And Karen's been trying to teach me. She's always on me. "John, you went a little bit too far." I know. You know, sometimes jesting, making fun of, and in your mind it's in light, but it hurts people. We got to be careful. Not too careful, right? We're not going to be walking on eggshells. That's just impossible. Right?
Amen.
I mean, I cannot be worried about everything that comes out of my mouth. I think, okay, how are they going to say it? You know, what's going to happen if I say this? No, so, but I understand. The Bible does say here, be careful with jesting. Sometimes it's just not convenient. Sometimes if we're going to follow God and his example, we have to take these things into consideration. We get the part where it says filthiness. We get the part where it says foolish talking. But we kind of go over jesting. Oh, come on. We got to have some fun, right? Well, I think we better consider some things. 5, it says, "For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon children of disobedience." Verse 6, let no man, it says, deceive you with vain words. I just mentioned jesting because that did catch my eye. And there's always going to be somebody, like I just said, right? Well, we don't have to, you know, not walk on eggshells. Whatever. I'm telling you, you have to consider these things and be careful not to make light of certain things. You know, there's actually people. The world is known for making fornication, for example, something like this is not a problem, right? They say, well, you know, they love each other. But they don't see the consequences, or they do see them, but they just don't care too much about the consequences. So a lot of vain talking, a lot of deceit, a lot of things do happen that make us change our mind, or maybe not look at things as God looks at things. If you're gonna be a follower of Christ, and that's what he says, you gotta follow me, and I'm going to give you that light, and you shall not walk in darkness, then you have to make some changes, right? You can't have it both ways. Look what it says, let no man, in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what? As you continue reading this chapter, it seems to me like when you get saved, you have a struggle with the darkness. Amen. Right? Because God says right there that you shall not walk in darkness, doesn't mean it's automatic. It doesn't mean that because we have that light inside that things are just going to change automatically. No, you know what? You have to make a decision, right? Just as many of us did when we got saved, we made certain decisions. We got rid of some people in our lives, right? We made some decisions that people, a lot of people don't understand, right? I mean, from when I got saved, I started waking up on Sunday mornings and going to church. I didn't do that before. You know how how crazy that sounds to people?
Yeah.
I mean, really? You go to church every Sunday? Every single Sunday? And then, like, if you live up here, Sunday night as well? You know, and then you go back on Wednesday night? Man, I think Brother Lindell, I remember a message he gave. One of your family members told you, a friend of yours told you, but you must be a real big sinner, right? Because you go three times a week. Look, people don't understand that. But you know, something happened to me that I try to explain. Something happened to me. Somebody came and came into my life and started to change my mind. You know, I think it's a good thing to meet. Not only a good thing for me to meet, but I think God wants us to meet. It says here in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now consider that verse. I like that verse. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You know what you got in your hand? You got light.
Amen.
Right? The Word of God is light. And praise God, it's gotten my life more straight. It's not completely straight. There's a lot of crooked parts in my life, and God's still working on me. But you know, this book is light. We are called to follow Him. You must not only read the book, but you got to believe the book. And then it says here, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know what I thought of? My pastors. My pastors have made this book come alive to me, right? In their sermons, in their counsels. Sometimes we don't agree with some things that they say or some things that they do. Isn't that correct? Just like you don't agree probably with things I do or I say all the time, right? But you know what? When they have this book and when they're teaching out of this book and they reveal a truth to us, I thank God for that. I thank God that I'm not a part of an assembly that just wants to make me feel good, right? I don't think in my person, you might think differently, and that's okay. But I don't think I would like to be a part of a place that I walk away every single day feeling good about myself. Right? I want to walk away, and I don't come in this way, believe me, but I want to walk out mad at the preacher. Right? I want to walk out a little bit just upset a little bit. Why? Because he said something, he revealed something, he gave me some light, and I just didn't like it. And then once I think about it, and once I let it grow a little bit in my heart, well, then it changes me.
Amen.
We all thank God for for teachers and for our pastors who give us the light. Another thing I thought of, light is essential to life, right? Without it, I mean, things die, right? You need light. You need this word. First Corinthians 4, you want to turn with me there. 1 Corinthians 4, it says, that's not what I wanted. Let me see. Maybe it was 2nd. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, not only do we have the promise of the light, and the condition is we got to follow it. We have to follow. And if you follow, if you and I are walking in light, it's a continual motion, right? We're not walking if we just take one step and then wait a while. That's not walking, right? Walking, and we understand, this is not deep, right? Walking, we do understand, it's a continual motion, one foot after the other, and we're progressing. We're going forward, right? 1 John 2:8. Look what it says there. 1 John 2:8. Oops, I'm in 1 Peter. 1 John 2:8. It says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. You know, not only do we have to walk in the light, but the light shines our path. You know, in Psalms 119, 105, it says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, the problem is lots of times you and I, we don't want to follow God unless we know where we're going to end up. Right? I mean, I understand, believe me, if you tell me, hey, let's go, we're going to do this or that. Well, I want more information. Right? I mean, I might not want to go. I might not want to continue on that road, right? And especially if you say, just come on, just get in. I don't think I like that either. You know, I'm down there in Mexico, and I always tell Karen this. If a police officer comes to me or whatever, or some guy just, you know, randomly comes to me and just say, get in, I'm not getting in. I'm just not going to do it, you know. If they try to force me, I think I'm going to fight. Right? I don't want to get into somewhere where I don't know where they're going to take me. I'd rather them take care of me right there, and then my wife know exactly what happened to me. Yeah. Right? And then she can collect the insurance and be happy. But we have a fear of continuing down a journey if we don't know where it's going to end up. But listen, if you're going to follow me, I understand that. If you're following Brother Lindell, I understand that. If you're following somebody else, I understand that way of thinking. But this is God. God says, you're going to follow me.
Amen.
Right? There's a reason why he gave us the book. Right? It shines our path. Folks, there's a reason why you have headlights in the front of your car and not in the back. Right? There's a good reason for that. It shines. In the darkness, we know where we're going. Well, let me tell you, this book is going to tell you exactly where you're going.
Amen.
One more thing. Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after
Amen.
The Spirit.
Amen.
When Jesus says there in verse 12 that we should follow him, those of us that believe in him and we follow him, it's not like we're anticipating something. We just need to follow, right? It's not something that we say, okay, what's going to happen around the corner? We just follow. We should also follow not wavering. We can't waver. We can't doubt. We can't doubting ourselves. It's like that story with Peter in Matthew chapter 14. An incredible story. Peter walking on water, and he doubted. Man, I often thought if he wouldn't have not have doubted, he would have kept on walking with God right on that sea. It would have been incredible. You know what happens? And we know the story, the teaching of that story is keep your eyes on God, right? The minute that he took his eyes off God, he started sinking. The minute he took his eyes off the Lord, he got into trouble. Well, you and I need to keep our eyes on God. We cannot waver. We there's too much at stake.
Right.
Look at this church. Look at all the work that's gone into this church. Man, when I came in, everything was already done. I just loved it. Right? Come in. I've heard stories about people climbing on those rafters, and obviously they didn't do a good job. But but that's another story. But you know, I mean, all the work that went into this place to build this place. Why? And I just came in. I came in, you know, to a beautiful place. How about the ministries that are going on in Mexico? Look, people, if we could just tell you all the sad stories about our churches down there, there's a lot of sad stories. A lot of people leave. A lot of people, you know, get upset. There's church splits exactly like you have up here. Right? It's incredible. People aren't that different. You know, we have problems like we have problems. But the success stories, incredible. You know, in January we had a Thanksgiving meeting there in Mexico. We don't have Thanksgiving like you guys have Thanksgiving, so we always do it on the New Year. And it's just incredible to these brethren, they stand up and they give thanks. But you know what? They almost always, I mean, okay, they might mention their jobs, they might mention you know something carnal, but they always thank in the Lord for their salvation.
Amen.
Always thanking the Lord for bringing the gospel into their lives.
Amen.
That's just an incredible thing to me. Look, there's so much at stake. And I'm just talking as a church. I'm talking about you and I that we have to keep following.
Amen.
Let's get a little bit more personal. How about your children? Right? How about the person next to you? Imagine if one day you didn't show up anymore. And I'm talking about somebody who's been here a long time. It hurts. Does it not? Hey, man, it hurts me. And I don't even meet here all the time. Right? It hurts me when I hear, oh, so-and-so left. Right? It hurts. But you know what? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep following.
Amen.
I'm going to try to do this, and I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I think if you and I have that mentality, have that vision, I think things are gonna work out. Another thing, following God, that's important, is believing everything that God says. It was mentioned this morning about trials, and how God says there in John, he has overcome, right?
Yeah.
Hey, tribulation, not a problem. God says, in this world, you're going to have it. But hey, I've overcome. Right? Put your faith in him. You got to believe it. And I know sometimes it's tough. It's tough believing these things. For example, Psalms 30. Turn with me there. Psalms 30. In verse 5. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor... I'm sorry. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
You know, that's a hard verse to believe. It's an easy verse to believe when there's no mourning, right? It's an easy verse to believe when there's not a problem. It's very easy when things are going really good in your life and you don't have any kind of trials in your life. But let a trial come in, and that verse becomes very, very hard. But you know what? If we're going to be followers of Christ, we got to believe that. We got to believe it when things get hard, exactly how we believe it when things are going good for us. Another thing I thought about following in Psalms 139. We need to understand that when we follow God, Psalms 139, when we follow God, His presence is always with us. He's always there. Right? I mean, that's a promise He gave us. He's going to be with us until the end of the world. Right? That makes that verse so much more important when I read there in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Right? When He says that we shall not walk in darkness, when He says that He's going to give us His light, when He says that, He's always going to be with us. There's absolutely no trial or no problem that you cannot overcome. Why? Because you have Christ.
Amen.
Look what it says there in Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whether shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. That is some crazy stuff. You know, he's saying even if you're the moment that you're at the spot in your life right now, even if it's so dark, even you cannot see how you're going to get out of this. God says, I'm there, and it's going to be light. You're going to be able to understand. Look what else it says, Psalms 147. Psalms 147. When I think about following Christ, first of all, we don't walk in darkness. And we need to believe. Believe what the book says. Believe what God is telling us. And we need to understand that God is never going to leave us. But then Psalm 147, look what it says. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely.
Amen.
You know, it's pleasant, it says. It should be enjoyable. It should be lively. It should be merry. That's exactly what that word means. It should be pleasant. You know, God's looking for that. That's something that God desires to see in us when we come and worship Him, when we come and praise His name. It should be lively. It should be something that we should be happy to do, merry. We should come here with the desire to lift God's name.
Amen.
And then it says here, comely. It should be beautiful. It should be attractive. We all know what attractive is, right? I mean, in this world, there's some attractive people. You know, I mean, on both sides, right? I mean, sometimes you see some people, you go, man, that's way too good looking. I just, that's attractive. Look, whenever they sell makeup, who do they have to pose for this makeup stuff? Not ugly people, beautiful people, right? And then they make you think, if you buy that makeup, you're going to be beautiful too, right? It's attractive. It's something that lures you in. And that's about any commercial there is in this world. Whatever they're trying to sell you, they try to make it attractive. Well, you know what? When we come and praise God, it should be attractive. It should be something that somebody wants to also enjoy, that someone else also wants to participate. We ought to try doing that. The last thing, following God, we should want to please Him in all things. Right? When it says there in 147, it says in verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. In verse 10, and He delighteth not in the strength of the horse, and He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy.
Amen.
You know, you and I delight in the strength of an animal or men. You know, I like seeing those videos of these fullbacks, these running backs, you know, where they have like, they compile a bunch of videos of these big old guys just blowing through the line and just running and knocking people over, and they can't even take them down. To me, I'm thinking, wow, that is incredible. You know, and we look at that, and at least me, and I'm thinking, man, that's pretty cool. Right? You see people dunk the ball, you see, you know, all these sport things. I'm not like really into sports, but I do like it. But you and I get pleasure out of it. You know what God says? Nah. That's not what pleasure is to me. You know, seeing all this fantastic stuff, seeing all this incredible things that you and I wish we could do, that's not what pleases God. It says here, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him.
Amen.
How are you walking? If you're following God, if you say you're following God, is there any part in your life? Just think about it. Is there any part in your life right now that you can think, you know what? That part of my life is darkness.
Amen.
I'm not doing a good job there. Jesus Christ said, "You shall not walk in darkness." What about the thought of God being with you all the time? Does that trouble you? It troubles some people. But really, think about it. Does that trouble you? When you turn off the light and no one sees what you're doing, does that trouble you that God says, it's like noon in my eyes? When you're in your house all by yourself, when you're in another city, away from your family, working on a job site where no one sees you, does it trouble you that God is there with you? Is that troubling? Or does that excite you?
Amen.
Does that say, wow, even though I'm away from my home church, even though I'm away from my family, even though I'm away from people who encourage me, God is right there. Let me tell you, if it's not comforting to you this morning, you need to get some things right.
Amen.
There's something not right in you. There's a little bit of darkness there. And then, are you pleasing God? Because if you read that chapter, that's what Christ says, that He came to please Him. He came to do His will. Are you pleasing to God? And all of us have different things, right? God has called us to do different things. But this one thing is across the board. You are created to please God. Are you pleasing God? Is what you're doing, what you're thinking, your life, does it please God? If you are following God, then you have to be doing these things. You have to be not walking in darkness. You have to be believing what this book says. You have to understand that the sense that God is always around you, and you have to understand that pleasing God is important. Lots of times we think, you know, it's no big deal. It's no big deal to be a Christian. It's no big deal to believe in God. Everyone does it. But let me tell you, it's a big deal. Following God is important. And if you're not following God the way he calls us to follow God, you need to repent of that. You know? I'm be praying for this guy right here. Levi, right? Yeah. Okay. Man, it's hard to be a believer as a young man. In this world, right now, forget about it. I wouldn't want to go back. This guy needs some prayer. Our young people need some prayer. Amen. Following God, if following God is hard for you as an adult, imagine our kids. Amen. What are you going to do to try to encourage them? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to be pleasing to God? Are you going to be coming here with a desire to praise God? Are you going to make the utmost effort in your life not to walk in darkness, but to be an example, not only to these little guys, but to everybody?
Amen.
Walk in the light. Amen?